the best. We know exactly what we're doing. The red can stay, but it needs more volume. Way more volume. Bobby Joe looked at me like I was an impossible project. I'm thinking auburn highlights, and a blowout, and a deep mask facial, and a mud bath, and a major exfoliating process. The two of them kept listing treatment after treatment, talking about me as if I wasn't sitting right in front of them. A waiter appeared out of nowhere and held out a tray of champagne glasses. I took two and sipped them as fast as I could. Claire? Bobby Joe tapped her chin. We're trying to figure out what color we should paint your lips. Tell me something. After you get done giving Jonathan head, do you spit or swallow? I spluttered, sending champagne flying into the air. Excuse me? She swallows, Kim laughed and helped me stand up. Good for you, Claire. Spitters are quitters. Jesus. Bobby Joe tossed her head back and laughed. Sinful red for you, it is. They led me over to the shampoo bowl, and for the next hour, I lay back and let them do at least 10 different protein treatments. When they were done, they took turns brushing soft autumn-colored highlights into my hair, promising me that Jonathan would fuck me on the spot once he saw the new and improved me. I'd given up on protesting any of their suggestions. I'd accepted their, we know what we're doing, and you're dealing with the best mantras. Even when they insisted that I let them place some type of seafood-inspired gunk on my face, I didn't bother telling them that I hated seafood. I just held my breath and got it over with. Okay, now relax. Kim pulled a steaming hot blow dryer through my hair. This is the most important part. This is where we make you look fuckable. As she teased, combed, and curled my hair, Bobby Joe hummed and applied makeup to my face, demanding that I purse my lips every few seconds. I suddenly felt my phone vibrating and pulled it out of my pocket. I was hoping it was Jonathan, but it was a number I didn't recognize. A text. Heard you're on vacation in Costa Rica. Must be nice. We need to speak as soon as you get back. I'm not taking no for an answer, so be ready to talk. Ryan.
Is it Jonathan?
Kim sighed. No. I deleted the message. It's not Jonathan. Just someone with the wrong number. I shut my eyes and sat still as they continued to work, trying not to think about Ryan and whatever the hell he wanted to talk about. How did he get my new number?
Okay, we're all done, Kim sounded happy. Now it's time to help you into the right dress.
She put the blindfold over my eyes again and led me into another room. For what felt like an hour, she and Bobby Joe literally dressed and undressed me until they finally agreed on what I should wear. Turn around, sexy. Bobby Joe took off my blindfold and spun me around. What do you think? Wow. I didn't recognize myself. My hair was now a much deeper and shinier red, with hints of dark blonde and hazel brown, and it was styled into an updo of loose and wavy curls, a style I was considering for the wedding. My eyes veered down towards the thin white dress they'd picked, and I felt naked, exposed, like there was no point in me wearing a dress at all. Bobby Joe raised her eyebrow.
Something wrong with the dress?
No, it's just, it's
a bit what?
I shook my head at the hemline that barely grazed my thigh, at the crisscrossed fabric in the front that exposed the skin underneath my breasts.
Slutty. It is not slutty, Kim scoffed. This is hot. All the men are going to be looking at you tonight.
I'm getting married.
But you don't have to look married.
Bobby Joe rolled her eyes.
This is a night you're going to look back on and cherish years from now. And we're going to make damn sure that you never forget it.
Chapter 11. Claire. I leaned on Kim's shoulder as we left the third club of the night. My feet were completely numb from dancing so much, and my throat was aching from the amount of alcohol they'd forced me to drink. We hadn't been on the list for any of the clubs we'd been to,
but Bobby Joe and Kim had turned on their charm, i.e., rubbed their breasts against the bouncers and flirted with the security guards, so that we could skip everyone and get in for free. "Is this the last club, Helen?" I slurred, noticing that we were stopping in front of an all-black building where there was no line. I'm not sure if I can take any more tonight. She rolled her eyes. Yes, this is the last club. Well, it's not really a club, she put her hands on my shoulders to steady me. This is what I've been putting together ever since you told me you were engaged. I honestly hate to lose any friend to the married life, but since you want to go that route, I kept that sentiment in mind while I was planning every moment of this. Why is she acting like this is the greatest thing she's ever accomplished? This is how I want your single life to come to an end. She pretended to wipe a tear from her eye. So please do me a favor and try to let yourself go for the rest of the night. No judging, no worries, nothing. Can you please promise me that? I nodded. Say it like you mean it, Claire. I promise. Great. She opened the door and ushered us all inside. We walked through two dimly lit hallways, where I could hear the thumping bass of music coming from another room. The air was getting thicker and thicker with each step I took, and I was starting to sweat. As we rounded a corner, a buff bodyguard stood up and crossed his arms, blocking the silver door that was behind him. "Name?" he said flatly. "Claire Statham," the three of them said in unison. He looked all of us over as if he were questioning why we were there, and then he opened the door. "Have a nice night, ladies." I felt myself being pushed inside the room, and once my eyes realized what the hell they were seeing, my jaw hit the floor. Jonathan is going to kill me. The room was massive. I couldn't make out where the walls were because there was red smoke seeping from the floors and the ceilings. However, I could clearly see half-naked men everywhere. And by half-naked, I meant that they were only wearing tight white briefs and a smile. And since they were sweating, I could see everything. There was a huge black stage on the far end of the room, where a few male and female dancers were writhing against one another as if they were having sex. There were even people standing right below the stage, tossing dollar bills and panties at them. The bar that was on my right was all glass, and it extended all the way across the room to a wall I couldn't see. The words, "Cum Shots," were flashing in neon red letters behind it, and a long line of bartenders were frantically mixing drinks. I was about to ask where the hell we were, but a man who was built like a Greek god stepped in front of me and handed each of us a small velvet bag.
"Welcome to Club Sin, ladies."
He smiled and Bobby Joe reached out and cupped his cock. "He's not stuffing," she winked at him.
"No one here is."
He smiled even wider.
"Follow me to your table. You have a reserved space in VIP.
I shook my head and turned away to leave, but they pushed me forward and made me follow him across the room and up a flight of steps. Our table was directly above the dance floor and right in front of the stage. The Greek god took a pen out of somewhere and waited for us to take our seats.
"It should feel a little cooler up here than downstairs," he said. "But if you get too hot, there's a cooling station behind that door."
He pointed to a sign below that read, "Cool after you come."
"What type of drinks can I start you ladies off with tonight?"
"I'll have a water," I said. "In a bottle." "Ignore her," Kim covered my mouth. "We'll all have cum shots to start."
"And a round of sex on the beach,"
Helen looked him up and down,
"with two bottles of your best vodka and a pitcher of orange juice to share."
He wrote it all down and turned to walk away, but not before Bobby Joe slapped his ass laughing. "I am so bringing someone back to the suite tonight." I shook my head and opened the velvet bag he'd given us at the door. Condoms, blow pops that read, "For your blowing pleasure," a mini vibrator, handcuffs, a blindfold, and lube. Lots and lots of lube. What the fuck? I dropped the bag under the table and squinted at the scene that was playing below me on the dance floor.
One of the half-naked men was giving a woman one hell of a lap dance, and it looked like she was enjoying it a little too much. She was grabbing onto his back and panting, crying out like he was actually...
Oh, my God! I stood up. I can't be here, Helen! What the fuck is this place?
Club Sin. Did you not hear the man say that when we got here?
Just relax, Claire.
Every person in this place knows you're about to be Mrs. Statham and that you're off limits. Your lap dance will be a lot tamer.
I don't want a lap dance.
She rolled her eyes as our drinks were placed on the table. Ladies and gentlemen.
A deep voice came over the speakers, drowning out the high-frenzied techno music.
The dance floor will shut down in 2 hours for our scheduled all-eyes performance. Please take advantage of it before we close off that section.
Okay, wait.
Kim slid all 4 cum shots towards me.
I think you need to toss back all of these for yourself. We need you good and drunk way before the show starts.
What type of show is it?
It's a scene show. They show off different sex positions, and I really need some new ones to add to my sex bucket list.
Your fuck it list, Bobby Joe corrected.
Toss back the drinks so we can dance, Claire. Now.
I sighed and tossed back the first one to loud cheers, wincing at how bitter it was.
2, 3, 4.
They clapped and thrust another drink into my hand as soon as I finished the last cum shot. I took a few sips, and before I knew it, I was being pulled onto the dance floor. The room was spinning, and everything was blurring together, so much so that I wasn't sure if what my eyes were showing me was true. A half-naked police officer was rubbing against me, swaying my hips to the beat as I struggled to keep my balance. Helen was grinding against 2 men at the same time, and Bobby Joe and Kim were sandwiching another Greek god, rubbing him all over. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw people lining up at a different type of bar. There were no alcohol bottles or glasses hanging behind its wall. There were chains, ropes, whips, and lots of metal things I didn't recognize. I watched a couple buy a long silver chain and raised my eyebrow as they were led out of the room and through the smoke by a bouncer to somewhere I was sure I didn't want to know about. Dizzy and confused, I slowly freed myself from the stranger's sweaty embrace and headed back to our section in VIP. I looked at my phone and realized I had a text. Jonathan, your new makeover is so fucking sexy. Can't wait to see it in person. Call me as soon as you get back to your room. I was too dazed and disoriented to even think about talking to him tonight. I didn't want to slip up and tell him anything about this club. Ever.
Are you all right, Claire? Kim put her hand on my forehead. I saw you dancing with that cop. I'm proud of you. You're learning.
She sat down and handed me a bottle of water. Helen wasn't lying to me, right? This really is the last club?
Yeah. It may be just you and I walking back, though.
She pointed to the corner where Bobby Joe currently had her hand down a fireman's briefs, and Helen was grinding against a different set of men. I shook my head and took slow sips of water, savoring every cold drop. Just as I was finally cooling down, a stark naked sheriff took the bottle out of my hand and positioned himself over my lap.
Oh my God! No, no, no! I slurred. Why is your cock out? I don't want... Could you at least put your briefs on?
Don't worry, he smiled. Your friends told me to be extra gentle.
What?
I shut my eyes as he danced against me. He was grunting and using my shoulders to brace himself, saying,
I bet your fiancé doesn't give it to you like this.
When I finally opened my eyes again, he was gone, and everyone was back in the VIP booth. The lights in the club were dimming, and the words, scene show, were flashing in white lights across the stage. I think I've had enough for one night, I stood up. This has been really fun, but... Helen pulled me back down.
Sit still, Claire. We have 4 more hours left, and we're using every last second.
Besides, the DJ just announced that the dance troupe is going to twerk before the show even starts.
Twerk? Do I even want to know what that means?
Bobby Joe stood up and bent over slightly, placing her ass in my face. Then she braced the floor with her hands and proceeded to bounce her ass up and down, moving closer and closer to me.
Smack it!
She danced a few more seconds before laughing and standing upright. Now, imagine men doing that with hard cocks and tight briefs and... ah, heaven. Sounds thrilling. I rolled my eyes and poured myself a large glass of vodka, no orange juice. I tossed it back and clenched my jaw as the burning sensations rolled down my throat. As I was pouring myself another one, a group of men took the stage in black briefs, briefs that perfectly highlighted their huge cocks, and they began to dance to a loud techno beat. They were in sync with one another, bending over just like Bobby Joe had done, but instead of shaking their asses, they were shaking their cocks, making them touch the floor with every lowered move. They rubbed their hands all over their sweaty and chiseled chests, winking at the various women in the crowd. And then one by one they began to twerk, solo, and slowly removed their briefs. "Oh, my God," we all said in unison. I was sure my mouth was hanging wide open, at the sheer perfection of their bodies, at the delectable sweat, at the hugeness, at the... I shook those thoughts away and tapped Helen's shoulder. Do we really need to stay for the sex show? Of course we do. We're... Oh, God. She looked at her watch. You haven't gotten your massage yet. You need to get it before the parlor closes. That was included in the package. She waved over to the bar. A massage? Seriously, Helen? Are you not aware what the phrase "I'm getting married" means? It means that I can't act like you. And who the hell picked this club? Do you hear something, Bobby Joe? She ignored me. How about you, Kim? I could have sworn we all discussed someone letting go before we stepped through that door tonight. Bobby Joe shook her head.
Nope, I don't hear anything. But do you see that man at the edge of the stage?
She licked her lips.
God, I would love to lick his nipple piercing, and his chest, and his... everything.
Kim and Helen shot her blank stares.
Anyway, I sighed, Jonathan wouldn't like me being touched by another man, especially not a half-naked one, professional massage or not.
Claire, Helen took a deep breath,
I would never, ever suggest anything that would make your crazy, jealous, and overbearing fiancé upset with you. All you've done tonight is dance, drink to excess, and experience the lamest lap dance in the world.
He was naked. He barely touched you.
And you know something else?
Good evening, ladies.
A perfectly suntanned god stepped into our booth. Who's getting the massage tonight? I couldn't find any words to say. He was utter perfection, even more attractive than the men we'd seen on stage. Helen, I fucked him for a few seconds before looking at me again.
As perfect as this man is, I specifically made it clear that A... your masseuse must be gay, and B, it must be a steam massage, so once again he'll barely touch you. Trust me, he doesn't want you. At all. And it's a damn shame.
I blinked and looked up at Mr. Perfection again. I have a boyfriend. He shrugged and reached for my hand.
I won't hurt you. Besides, it's only 15 minutes.
I tossed back another shot and reluctantly took his hand. He introduced himself to me as Sean, and led me down two dark hallways into a room that scared the living shit out of me. There were whips and chains hanging from the ceiling, slow-burning red candles that nearly covered the entire floor, and countless metal contraptions that jutted out from the walls. I looked around for the massage table and spotted it in the corner.
"This is the best room available for a massage?" I asked. "Is there a problem?"
"No, just... people actually come here to do this stuff?" I tugged on a pair of handcuffs that hung from the wall.
"This is a sex club?"
"You're just now figuring that out."
He led me over to the table.
"But to answer your question, yes. My ex used to get a real kick out of this. He loved it."
"Pain?
Don't be closed-minded."
He sounded offended.
"It's the thin line between pleasure and pain that turns people on. Look, come here."
He pulled my arms up over my head and secured a rope around them. I'll show you a few things that you can take back home to your fiancé. Does that hurt?
No.
He tightened the ropes and the bristles started to rub into my skin. How about now?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Good?
He nodded and took a few steps back. So, right now your arms are suspended in the air and you don't have full control of yourself. You're submitting that remaining power to your significant other.
I'm sure he would love that, I mumbled.
How about adding this, too?
He hoisted my body up from the floor by a few inches. Then he spread my legs wide and clamped each of my ankles to heavy weights.
How do you feel now?
I drank a whole lot of alcohol tonight. I'm honestly not sure if this is really happening or not.
He laughed and walked over to a table, unwrapping a black box. We sell pleasure kits at the gift shop upstairs, but seeing as though you're almost Mrs. Statham, I'll make sure you get a bunch of them for free.
He brought the box over to me and showed me a state-of-the-art vibrator with several smaller pleasure toys.
Do you think you'd be willing to try some of the more daring things at home?
Sean shut the box and gestured to the other things in the room.
Are my eyes red? Do they look puffy to you?
He smiled and pinched my cheek.
I think you'll warm up to it one day. I'll go get the steamer and some bottled water from next door. I'll untie you the second I get back. Hopefully 10 more seconds like this will convince you to try it. Right?
I laughed at his enthusiasm and shook my head as he walked away. I looked around the room again, wondering why I'd ever doubted Helen when she promised an over-the-top party. She'd truly outdone herself, and the week wasn't even over. I tried to move my legs and get down, but it was no use. It had only been a few seconds, but it felt like they were falling asleep. With the amount of alcohol that was coursing through my veins, I knew I was about to pass out if I didn't get down soon. I'm going to have one hell of a hangover tomorrow. My eyes were struggling to stay open, and the heat from the candles was making me sweat. I wished he'd at least tied me up closer to the door, or at least let me face it, so I could be closer to the air vents.
Sean!
I called out. I heard the door opening, and I sighed, relieved.
Look, Sean, you don't need to give me a massage. Just cut me down from this, and I'll lie and say everything was great. I'm starting to feel a bit...
Is this the type of shit that turns you on, Claire?
The sound of Jonathan's voice made my heart race 10 times faster.
Jonathan? I felt him kissing the back of my neck. What the hell are you doing here?
He pressed another kiss against my skin, ignoring my question. He ran his hands up and down my sides, and I could sense him smiling.
So, there was some truth in what you told our therapist about our intimacy problems? You aren't satisfied with our regular sex?
Traditional sex! I fired back and heard him laugh.
I'm learning so many new things about you lately, future wife. First, you take exotic classes after work, and now you're into bondage. Are there any more secrets you want to tell me about before we tie the knot? Do you strip for extra money on the weekends?
I rolled my eyes.
Could you hurry up and untie me, please?
Untie you? Why would I do that?
He planted kisses down the exposed groove of my back. Then he secured the ropes even tighter around my wrists.
What are you doing?
He stepped around to face me.
Are you about to let that man touch you?
You're really not going to untie me?
It looks like you were about to let him touch what's mine.
He stepped forward and kissed my lips, slipping his hands underneath the fabric of my dress.
And is this how you normally dress behind my back? This dress shows everything. You might as well be naked.
Untie me, right now, Jonathan.
I don't think so.
He kissed me again, whispering,
I don't know who you are anymore, Claire.
I let out a sigh, but I didn't get a chance to say anything further, because he clamped my lips shut with his fingers. Glaring at me, he wrapped his other arm around my waist.
I don't give a damn if he is gay. No other man massages you, ever. Are we clear?
I nodded.
Say it.
We're clear. He stared at me a few more seconds before letting me go. He walked over to the table and grabbed the box Sean had opened,
Then he set it behind me and muttered something to himself I couldn't hear. I tried to turn around and see what he was doing, but it was no use. I couldn't move my legs, and the bristles from the rope were really starting to hurt. I suddenly felt him pressing kisses against the back of my shoulders, reaching around me and squeezing my breasts.
"Have you enjoyed being abstinent this week?"
He sounded amused. "It's been the best week of my life."
"Is that so?"
"Yes. It's been so much fun that I don't think I want to have sex ever again." He let out a low laugh and gently pulled my head back with my hair until I was looking up at him.
"I think the last few nights have been the worst nights of your life."
I didn't say anything. I kept a slight smirk on my face and looked into his eyes.
"I think you've tossed and turned in your sleep, wishing I was here, so I could help relieve that longing ache between your thighs."
He lowered his voice.
"And I know you've woken up every morning reaching for me."
He pulled my hair a little more and pressed his lips against mine for an upside-down kiss.
"Because I've reached for you."
My heart fluttered, and I lifted my head forward. "Please untie me." He didn't answer, so I repeated myself. "Nothing." "Jonathan?" I called his name again and tried to tilt my head back, but I felt him pressing a buzzing vibrator against me.
"Did you pack one of these in your suitcase?"
he whispered into my ear. "Yes."
"No."
"Are you sure?"
He held me steady with his other hand.
"The infamous purple one was missing from your closet the other day."
"Were you planning to use it on yourself while I was gone, patiently awaiting the opportunity?" He trailed the vibrator around to my stomach and pulled me back against him, letting me feel his hardened cock against my skin.
"I thought we agreed on no self-pleasure either."
He softly bit my shoulder.
"You're cheating on me with a vibrator."
My voice caught in my throat as he trailed his other hand against my sides and up to my bound wrists. He started to rub his palm against the rope, chafing my skin.
"Jonathan, that hurts."
He continued rubbing against it, forcing the bristles to slowly tear into my flesh, and he suddenly stopped. I heard a clanking noise above me, the harsh sound of metal grinding against metal. Then I felt my body slowly tilting to my right, turning and turning, until I was upside down with my entangled fingertips grazing the floor. I looked up and saw Jonathan standing in between my legs, and I swallowed.
"What are you?"
He snatched my panties off and slipped his tongue in between my legs, making me cry out. Ignoring my moans, he held a strange bottle over me and squeezed it, letting the warm liquid drizzle all over me. I shut my eyes as blood rushed to my head, as he dipped his head low again, and teasingly slid his tongue into me. I started to relax as he established a torturous rhythm, probing his tongue in and out of me, swirling it against my clit,
French kissing my lips.
I felt my insides quivering, begging for more, but he stopped. I looked up at him in confusion, longing for him to continue, but he laughed and grabbed something off the table. Before I could say anything, he smacked my ass with a leather whip. Hard. I screamed out and he smacked it again. And again.
"This is what you honestly like?"
He placed the tip of the whip between my legs, tapping it against my swollen lower lips.
"I'm not going to turn you right side up unless you tell me the truth. Is this what you like?"
I didn't answer. I just moaned as he dropped the whip to the floor and positioned his cock against me. I braced myself for the much-needed sex, using what little control I had to flex my hips, but he grabbed my waist and held me still.
"Do you know how hard it is not to fuck you right now, Claire?"
He rubbed his cock against me, back and forth, again and again, but not entering me. I scraped my nails against the floor to deflect some of the pleasure, and tried not to cry out in utter frustration. I failed.
"Please, Jonathan."
He slipped two fingers inside of me, groaning once he felt how wet I was. He slowly slid them in and out, making both of us moan with each deep stroke. I shook my head and bit my lip, begging him to stand me up and fuck me. but he answered each of my pleas with a tender kiss against my thighs. He continued to torture me with his fingers, and my thoughts became hazy. I started to feel familiar tremors traveling up and down my body.
Oh, God.
I started shaking, convulsing, getting ready to let go, but he didn't let me come. He flipped me right side up in seconds and looked into my eyes, holding a vibrator against my clit. He brought his face close to mine and whispered,
"How would you like me to finish this?
By fucking me?"
"I can't read your mind,"
he lied, smiling.
"How would you like me to finish this?"
"By fucking me."
"With my mouth?"
"With your cock. Now, please."
"I don't think it would be special if we had sex right now."
He moved the vibrator away and my insides continued to throb in tortured pleasure.
"It wouldn't make us feel intimate."
"Please," I pleaded with my eyes, and I could tell he was about to give in. I tried to push myself forward so I could kiss his lips, so I could convince him that I needed this. But he stepped back,
after we're married.
He kissed the tip of my nose and pulled his pants back up, leaving me panting and utterly lost. He freed my legs from the weights and slowly untied the rope from around my hands. I fell into him and told him to take me back to my suite. But he lifted me up and laid me on the table, flat on my stomach. I didn't even bother asking why. I was too frustrated. I shut my eyes and vowed not to speak to him for a while, but I suddenly felt him placing warm stones down the center of my back.
"Talk to me,"
he whispered. "About what? Sexual frustration?"
"If that's what you want,"
I sighed. "Did my friends see you? Do they know that you're here?"
"No."
He kneaded his hands against my sides.
"They were way too drunk to pay attention to anything. I had Greg take them back to your villa, so they wouldn't pass out in that so-called club."
"How thoughtful of you." He added a few more warm stones against my back.
"Thank you."
"What happened to your Vegas party? Was it that boring that you felt the need to come and ruin mine?"
"I didn't ruin your party."
He kissed my hair.
"I was having a pretty good time in Vegas, but I received a distractingly sexy makeover picture from my fiancé while I was at a club."
I don't remember typing "come crash my party" at the bottom of it.
"It was implied."
He pushed my new swooped bangs across my face.
"I didn't want to wait until you came home to see you like this."
"Really? Because I think it's because you can't go more than 3 days without touching me."
"4. I do have some restraint."
I rolled my eyes and felt him removing the stones. "I'm never drinking that much again. I can't even remember how many shots I had. Oh, and just so there are no secrets between us, I danced with a lot of men tonight, and you know what? I loved it, just like Helen said I would."
"Shh."
He sighed as he began pressing his hands into my back.
"Be quiet, Claire."
"No. You said you wanted me to talk." I shut my eyes. "If you can crash my party and deny me sex, you can listen to..." I yawned. "You can let me tell you..." His hands felt too good to be true. "All about..." Everything went black. I woke up and realized I was in my suite. The sun was slowly rising outside my window, and Jonathan was standing over me, fully dressed and fluffing my pillow. On the nightstand to my left, he'd placed 3 bottles of orange juice, a bottle of Tylenol, and a note. "Enjoy the rest of your week in Costa Rica, future wife." "You're leaving?" My throat was dry. He nodded and kissed my forehead.
"Your friends will be waking up soon. I'm sure you'll want to rehash last night with them. Tell Helen to send me the receipt for the villa and anything she and your friends bought this week. I'll reimburse whatever she spent."
"Okay. Can you take a shower with me before you go?"
"Of course."
He smiled and slid his arms beneath me to pick me up. He carried me into the bathroom and quickly removed my slip. As he placed me inside the shower and turned on the water, I thought about how I was going to seduce him and make him give me some damn sex. He'd been right hours ago. The last few nights had been horrible. My body craved his body every night. It ached for his touch, like it wouldn't survive without it. I can't believe I asked him to be abstinent. What the hell was I thinking? He joined me underneath the steamy water and ran his fingers through my damp bangs.
I really love what they did to your hair. Are they doing it for our wedding?
I nodded. In exchange for throwing a party on one of your yachts this winter. I already told them they could.
What if I say no?
I'm a co-owner. It doesn't matter what you say. He smiled, and I didn't bother wasting another second. I pressed my lips against his and kissed him deeply, using my hands to massage his cock. Before he could tell me to stop, I bent down and took him into my mouth, moving him in and out, until he was rock hard. I looked up at him as I slid my tongue around, and he seemed surprised, but he pulled me up and kissed me. As the water continued to fall over us, he kept his lips attached to mine and wrapped his arms around my waist. I felt his cock pressing against my stomach and murmured, "Please," but he continued his deep and passionate kiss. He rolled his tongue around mine and bit my bottom lip whenever I tried to pull away from him. I was completely breathless when he released me and spun me around to face the wall. He gripped my hips and adjusted my stance, slowly tilting me forward for easy access. I moaned as he reached around and caressed my breasts, as he placed a wet kiss against the groove of my back. "Are you sure you want this?" he whispered. "Yes." He gripped my hips even tighter and pressed his cock against me. Then he slid his hand between my legs and groaned as he touched my swollen clit. "I want to fuck you so badly, Claire," he whispered. "You have no idea. Enjoy the rest of your trip." He suddenly let me go and stepped out of the shower. I gasped and braced the wall. "What?" More frustrated than ever, I turned the water off and wrapped myself in a towel. I walked back into my room and crossed my arms once I saw that he was putting his clothes back on. "You're leaving?" He smirked and zipped up his pants. "You're not going to have sex with me?"
"Of course I am." He walked over and kissed my cheek. "After we're married."
I opened my mouth to speak, but he pressed his finger against my lips.
"I'll pick you up from the airstrip the second you get back. I want to take you on a date after you settle back into your job."
He planted a kiss on my forehead.
"I love you, Claire." I rolled my eyes. "Say it back."
"Make me." I gave him my best seductive look. He smiled and pulled me close.
"Once I commit to doing something, whatever that something may be, I never back down from it. You can keep trying to tempt me. You're very good, by the way. But I made a promise, and I never break my promises. Now, say it back."
"I love you, too." He kissed me one last time, and I watched him leave through my side door. He looked over his shoulder every few seconds and smiled at me, so I waited until he was no longer in my sight. I immediately rushed over to my suitcase and searched for my vibrator so I could end this frustration myself. I pulled the flap open where I knew I'd placed it, but it wasn't there. Instead, there was a folded napkin with a note. "No cheating, future wife. You'll get it back after the wedding. Smiley face." I cursed under my breath and headed for the kitchen, where Bobby Joe, Kim, and Helen were all staring at me with looks of horror on their faces. "You brought someone home with you from the club last night? And don't you dare lie because we all heard voices this morning." Helen practically lost it. "That's not like you at all, Claire. What the hell were you thinking?" "What? You think I cheated on Jonathan?" "It doesn't matter what we think." Bobby Joe stood up and paced the floor. "It's okay. We can definitely fix this. I know we told you to let go, but you weren't supposed to completely let go. You're marrying Jonathan fucking Statham. You don't need to experience any other man. Ever." Helen shook her head in disagreement at that last line, but she kept the look of worry on her face. "No more clubbing this week." Kim clasped her hands together. "We'll still drink tons, but we'll stick to the lame activities we were doing before. We'll even take you shopping for a whole new wardrobe today. Jonathan will never find out about this. Your secret is safe with us." Chapter 12, Claire. I sat in the middle of Starbucks, sporting a brand new tan and a light gray dress the girls had picked out for me on the last day of the trip. It was short, with a deep V neckline, and it hugged all my curves perfectly. It was the type of dress that Jonathan would love. At least, I hoped he would, when he saw me later tonight for our date. He told me he wanted to take me somewhere special as soon as he picked me up from the airstrip the other day. He'd left little reminder notes in my closet, in my purse, even in my car. Tonight will be the best date you and I have ever had. No, I'm not shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge again, but I can if you want me to. I'm looking forward to seeing you later. You are always the best part of my day.
Miss Grayson? My client cleared her throat, snapping me out of my trance. Is that all? Do I need to sign anything else?
I'm sorry. I'll have my secretary forward you a copy of the contract tomorrow morning. Do you have any other questions for me, Miss Kane?
Not at all. She stood up. Thanks for treating me to coffee today. This was different.
I laughed and watched her walk out of the store. Thanks to my employees, who had failed to shut off the air conditioning while I was gone, my store's ventilation system had crashed, and I'd had to reschedule all of today's appointments outside of the office. I looked through my planner to make sure I didn't have any more meetings for the day, and suddenly heard my phone ringing. Ashley.
Hello, Ashley.
This is Caroline, she scoffed.
You're using Ashley's phone, Caroline. How am I supposed to know it's you?
I could practically see her shrugging her shoulders.
Ashley and I would like to know why we weren't invited to your bachelorette party. We are in the wedding, your maids of honor at that.
Because you can't take off a week from school, and my friends didn't think it was appropriate for you two to come. And after going there, I'm completely sure they made the right choice.
Right. Anyway, I'm just calling to let you know that we got your email. We love it, and we think Jonathan will love it, too.
You didn't tell him anything, did you?
No. She paused. Although we are finding it a bit strange that we hear from him more than we hear from you these days.
What? That's not true.
It is true. He calls or texts us every day. And he sends us care packages every Monday,
Ashley yelled in the background. I'm sorry. I realized that they were right. Lately, I'd only been checking in on them once or twice a week, but I thought that was what they wanted. I'll do better, I promise. I'll start calling you more often and...
No, 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 Caroline clucked her teeth. Just send us some care packages. Actually, now that we're on the subject of care packages, Jonathan gives us $300 a week in his boxes, in addition to a bunch of other nice gifts. Now, we both know you don't make as much as he does, but we know you make enough to give us $200 a week without breaking a sweat, so
I hung up and sent them both an I love you text. Laughing, I started to put my things away. I felt something brush against my table, and when I looked up, I saw Ryan sitting in front of me with a smug expression on his face.
Busy day, huh? He asked. You've met with lots of clients.
Fuck off. I stood up to leave, but he grabbed my elbow.
Please, Claire. 2 minutes. That's it.
I looked into his eyes. Those familiar green and gray irises that I used to love, and saw a world full of pain. I wanted to walk away, knew I should have walked away. But the look in his eyes made me feel sorry for him.
2 minutes. That's it. Thank you.
He waited for me to sit down and slid a cup of coffee towards me.
Does Jonathan Statham make you happy?
He doesn't make me cry, I said firmly.
I didn't give you 2 minutes for a discussion. You're still incapable of small talk?
With my piece of shit ex-husband? He sighed.
Fair enough, Claire. I've been trying to get your attention for the past few weeks because Amanda's ill.
So? I shrugged.
So?
Yes, so.
As in, what does that have to do with me? It's fatal, Claire.
It looked like it hurt him to say those words, and for a half second I felt bad for her, for both of them.
She wants to talk to you.
What?
Why? Because you were her best friend? Her only friend?
We had other mutual friends. Why doesn't she want to talk to them? Is your head really stuck that far up your ass now?
I stood up to leave again, but he grabbed my arm and cleared his throat.
Please, Claire. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
He looked as if he wanted me to sit back down, but I remained standing.
All of the mutual friends were on your side.
Really? I wonder why.
I'm not asking for you and her to watch chick flicks together and cry. And I'm not asking for you to be BFFs again. I'm just asking on behalf of my wife.
Your wife? I still can't believe you can say that without a shred of guilt crossing over your face.
It's disgusting. I'm just asking for you to see her. Maybe even grab some lunch together next week. It's one of her dying wishes, and I'm doing my best to fulfill all of them.
What? Are you out of your mind?
I scoffed and left him sitting at the table.
I couldn't believe his nerve. To act as if I owed him or Amanda a damn thing. To have the audacity to even ask me to do anything for their benefit.
I stepped outside of the shop and opened my umbrella, walking over to my car in the pouring rain. As I unlocked the door, I felt strong hands on my shoulders, someone spinning me around.
Spare me this stupid act and stop being so fucking childish, Claire.
Ryan stood underneath my umbrella and gripped my arms.
Excuse me?
My eyes widened. He wasn't behaving anything like the Ryan I knew years ago. That Ryan would never grab me like this.
Ryan, I... You owe me 20 seconds, he hissed.
20 fucking seconds, and I'm going to use every last one of them.
You honestly think marrying a billionaire means you don't have to care about anything? You think it makes you a better person now? It doesn't.
I guess being a lying philanderer does, though,
huh? Get the hell off of me.
I raised my knee up, fully intending to kick him in his balls. But he grabbed my leg and moved it around his waist, holding it stiffly.
Seriously, Claire? Were you trying to do what I think you were trying to do? Save the human race from more bastard offspring?
When did you become such a bitch?
His eyes darkened. Are you still that bitter about what happened between us? 5 years ago? You clearly came out all right.
He glanced at my engagement ring.
Get your hands off of me, Ryan.
He didn't move back. Instead, he tightened his grip on my arm and leg and spoke slowly.
Listen to me, Claire.
I considered spitting in his face, but for some reason I couldn't muster enough saliva in my mouth.
Amanda and I moved here so we could commute back and forth to St. Francis.
The hospital? He nodded as if he'd heard my thought.
She's been working at that catering shop part-time to keep her mind off of her upcoming treatment.
He sighed.
She has another brain tumor, a malignant one. We came here to get a second opinion and to try a new procedure because none of the doctors at home will touch it.
His voice cracked.
She just wants to see you again, just in case, just... You never gave her a chance to say all she had to say.
She was fucking you behind my back. There was nothing left to say. I tried to wriggle free again, but his grip was too tight.
Look, I honestly don't wish her any ill will, and as a human being, I do hope whatever treatment she's here for goes well. However, personally, you two don't exist in my world anymore, and her sickness has nothing to do with me. So... If you could please let me go and get back to whatever life you've built with Amanda, that would be great. I've given you more than 20 seconds, and I'm not giving you any more. She was your best fucking friend.
Was.
Just like I was your wife.
Funny how one three-lettered word says so much, huh? His face turned red, and it looked like he was about to really lose it. But he leaned in closer so that we were nose to nose, lip to lip.
Stop pretending like you don't care, Claire. You do. I can see it in your eyes.
Are you sick, too? Please tell me St. Francis has you scheduled for a few nights in their psych ward. I've heard they give out Jell-O now. Is Cherry still your favorite?
All you have to do is talk to her for 5 minutes. It won't kill you.
Yes, it will. Now, please! I heard the shattering of glass to my right. Heard it echoing through the wind and cutting through the sound of pelting raindrops. I looked over and saw Jonathan standing underneath a black umbrella, holding on to a single white lily. the only one that hadn't fallen to the ground. I moved my leg from around Ryan's waist, but he was still gripping my arm and pinning me against my car. I tried to catch my breath and find the right words to say to Jonathan, the words that would tell him that what he was seeing was just a huge misunderstanding. But the way he was looking at me told me that he wouldn't believe a single word I said. The look on his face was one of anger, confusion, hurt. He looked over my fitted dress at Ryan's stance, at the small sliver of distance that was between the two of us. "Get your fucking hands off of her. Right now." His voice was colder than I'd ever heard it before. Ryan immediately removed his hands and smiled an evil smile at me. It looked like he was about to say something rude, but Jonathan spoke first.
"If you value your life, Hayes, I suggest you get the fuck out of my sight before I take it away."
Ryan looked at Jonathan and rolled his eyes, slowly backing away from underneath my umbrella, stepping out into the rain. I watched him fade into the rush of umbrella holders that were now rushing out into the parking lot. I turned to face Jonathan again and realized he was still staring at me, looking as if I'd just broken his heart. He bent down to pick up the white envelope that was on top of the shattered vase and flowers. Then he slowly strolled over to me and placed the single lily he was holding and that card on top of my car. He narrowed his eyes at me and opened his mouth to speak, but no words came out. "Jonathan," I could see the hurt in his eyes. "Let me explain. You know exactly how I feel about..." He walked away before I could finish my sentence. I rushed over to Jonathan's office and stopped at Angela's desk. I'd tried to run after him in the parking lot minutes ago, but he'd slipped away.
"Miss Grayson?" She looked up at me. "Are you okay? Would you like me to have someone bring you a set of dry clothes, a cup of hot coffee, perhaps?"
I shook my head. I was drenched from head to toe, but I was too distressed to feel anything.
"I need to speak to Jonathan."
She looked down at her hands.
"He's not accepting any unscheduled appointments."
"Bullshit, Angela. He's back there and you know it. Tell him I'm here, now."
She picked up her phone.
"Mr. Statham, I..."
"Yes, sir." She put the phone down.
"He told me to tell you to go home."
I swallowed and pulled my phone out of my pocket, calling him for the 10th time since I'd left Starbucks. It didn't even ring twice. He hit ignore.
"Angela, please." I knew she had the only other key to his door. "Could you just let me in, and I'll deal with whatever he says?"
"I'm sorry, Miss Grayson. I can't afford to lose this job. He made the orders very clear."
She pulled a notepad and an envelope from her drawer.
"I can make sure he gets your message, though. I'll make sure he reads it."
I felt tears falling down my face and nodded to say, "Thank you." I scribbled down my message, signing it with an "I love you," and then I slowly drove myself home. Alone. And I kept driving myself to the same empty house for the rest of the week.
Thursday, September 18th, 2014. Jonathan. I don't have shit to say. Chapter 13. Jonathan. I stared out my office window, watching heavy sheets of rain fall over the city. As hard as I tried to rationalize what I'd seen in that parking lot, I couldn't help but feel hurt. My heart damn near broke at the sight of seeing her with someone else. But once I realized it was him, her ex-husband, it practically shattered. Why didn't she call me? I knew there had to be a logical explanation, some type of reason, so I picked up my phone to call her, but there was already a call waiting. "Hello?"
"Mr. Statham?"
It was a high-pitched voice. "Miss Corwin." "Good afternoon, Miss Corwin. Can I help you with something?"
"Yes, I've been leaving messages with your fiancé, but she hasn't gotten back to me. I'll be staying in town for the next few weeks, so would you mind leaving me a wedding invitation with your secretary? I asked Miss Grayson to mail me one, but she probably forgot.
When was this?
When was what?
When did you ask her to mail you the invitation? I knew damn well we'd made her one. In fact, we'd made her 10, just in case she wanted to incorporate them into the reception space somehow.
Well, I asked her that night you came to L.A., remember?
And I called her 2 weeks ago about it. And you never received it?
No.
Her voice was soft.
I'm sorry if I'm causing you any trouble.
It's no trouble. I'll have it delivered to you personally.
Thank you.
I hung up and called Milton. I'm on my way to your office, Jonathan. He picked up on the first ring. No need to act like you actually give a damn about my financial reports today. That's not why I'm calling.
Of course it isn't.
What do you want? Have you received my wedding invitation in the mail yet? There was a knock on my door, and I walked over to answer it.
Would you like me to keep talking into the phone?
Milton walked into my office.
It wouldn't surprise me if you did.
Did you receive a wedding invitation? He shrugged.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. But I don't need one of those to be there, if that's why you're asking.
I shook my head.
No, I'm just wondering.
He asked me to give him a few minutes to get his files organized, and I took a seat at my desk. I sent out a text to five people who I knew I had personally told Claire to invite, addresses and all, and waited for them to tell me if they had received their invitation in the mail. Their responses came back instantly. No, no, no. I need an invitation to get in? No. What the fuck? I prepared to text Angela to get to the bottom of it, but I accidentally hit my email app and saw a message labeled urgent. It was from our cake designer.
2. Statham, comma, Jonathan. From Elegant Cakes, Inc.
Mr. Statham, my name is Jacqueline Russell, and I am the manager of Elegant Cakes. Per my conversation with your fiancé 2 weeks ago, I wanted to make sure that you were canceling your complete order, which includes 1 5-tiered wedding cake, 2 3-tiered dream cakes, and the customized frozen anniversary cake. Since your name is on the contract, and we have your signature on file, we'll need you to verify that this information is correct. We're sorry we won't be able to work with you on your special day. Sincerely, Jacqueline R.
My mind was officially blown. I couldn't believe this shit.
Jonathan? Jonathan?
Milton cleared his throat.
Are you there?
I shook my head and sighed. Go ahead.
Okay.
Milton handed me a folder.
Inside that folder, you'll see that I've outlined your current assets, totaled your domestic and foreign bank accounts, and appraised the company's future earnings. As you can clearly see, the future Mrs. Statham's name is nowhere to be found because, well, she did not contribute to you gaining any of these things, so I thought this was a strategy meeting. I rolled my eyes.
It is. Angela informed me that you've canceled all your appointments with a marital attorney as of this morning. Is that true?
Yes.
Well, maybe you're not thinking straight. Let me help you out. Your net worth, as of this quarter, is $9.8 billion. Your net worth. We live in California, a 50-50 split state,
Milton.
That means that if you should ever get a divorce, your ex-wife will automatically be entitled to over $4 billion. If you last for more than 10 years and your earnings continue to grow like they have in the past, you're looking at handing over $7 to $8 billion easily. Do you understand that?
I do.
Glad to hear that. I'll arrange for the attorney to come back.
There's not going to be a prenup, Milton. His jaw dropped.
I thought you just said you agreed with me.
There can't be a prenup if I'm not getting married.
What?
He gasped.
You two were just here weeks ago telling me about the wedding venue. It's over?
I didn't answer him.
Jonathan?
I sighed. I'll call you later tonight to go over that mistake in the master file you mentioned at this morning's meeting. I have a feeling we'll need more than one accounting team to sort that out. He opened his mouth to speak, but then he shook his head. He took his folder back and patted me on the shoulder before leaving my office. As soon as the door closed, I leaned back in my chair and shut my eyes. I can't believe this shit. What the fuck is Claire thinking? I didn't want to jump to any conclusions about the wedding, about marrying Claire, but invitation and cake bullshit aside, what she'd pulled last week had rocked me to my core. At first, I didn't want to believe that I'd seen her and Ryan inside of Starbucks when I drove by. I refused to believe it.